The Coast Guard's modernization plan includes replacements for almost all of its major hardware, including more than a dozen acquisition programs to recapitalize most of its boats and airplanes, plus various high-tech communications and information systems to tie those platforms together. GAO's assessment that the modernization plan is unachievable is based on the Coast Guard's most recent baseline of what used to be called the Deepwater Program, conducted in 2007. Congressman Frank Lobiondo is the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Coast Guard and Maritime Transportation.
Using that rebaseline as a guide of the Coast Guard's 17 large acquisition programs, 10 are over budget, 8 are behind schedule, and 6 are both over budget and behind schedule.
GAO says the Coast Guard is managing an acquisition program that's bigger than its budgets can support. John Hutton, the audit agency's director for acquisition and sourcing management, says the Coast Guard is running a program that will cost it up to $1.9 billion per year. At the same time, they're only expecting a capital budget of $1.2 billion per year. He says the Coast Guard needs to make its acquisition plans more realistic.
Decide what trade-offs have to be made given what the available funding is and get that decision made and then plan realistically in future budgets so that you don't have a lot of churn over time, because if you'll notice in their five-year capital investment plan where we looked at it over a series of years, you could see where one year they wanted to spend their money a certain way, but each year that mix of what they're going to put on aviation assets versus surface assets changed, mainly because of some of the things they had to deal with. So it wasn't really going to help them have a smooth acquisition because they were planning for more money than what they really were going to reasonably get.
But the subcommittee heard some pushback from the Coast Guard's top officer. Admiral Robert Papp, the service's commandant, says GAO's conclusions are based on old data.
I must admit I was a bit discouraged by the title of the hearing, Protecting the Taxpayer from an Unachievable Coast Guard Acquisition Program. I want to assure you, Mr. Chairman, that every Coast Guardsman, including our acquisition professionals, knows that protecting Americans from maritime threats is job number one. But our Coast Guardsmen cannot fulfill this duty without the tools they need to do the job.
Papp says he's the first to admit his service has stumbled with its huge recapitalization effort. The roots, he says, go back to the last drawdown in national security spending in the 1990s. By the end of that decade, he says, the funding cuts and the lack of any new shipbuilding programs to manage had hollowed out the service's acquisition workforce.
We didn't have a lot of large projects going on. We had a very small acquisition budget. September 11, 2001 changed that equation, and all of a sudden the money started coming in, and people talk about trying to build an aircraft while you're flying or trying to build a ship while you're sailing. That's exactly what we were doing within our acquisition community inside the Coast Guard. In part, that's what necessitated having a lead systems integrator, basically hiring people to run the project for us as we tried to build up the capacity within the Coast Guard.
That lead systems integrator, Integrated Deepwater Systems, was a private venture that managed virtually all aspects of the recapitalization program. After repeated problems, the Coast Guard brought the acquisitions in-house under a newly revitalized acquisition directorate. Papp says that's let the service disaggregate its cutter, airplane, and support systems into discrete programs and get away from the boil-the-ocean deepwater approach. And he says having the Coast Guard manage those acquisitions itself has given it a much more realistic view of what things cost.
We got about the business of hiring good people. Some people we hired away from the Navy to give us an increase in expertise within our acquisition community. And then we set about coming up with training programs for our people. And what I would say is our people are good now, and they know how to take very rigorous reviews of costs, take into account all the costs that are out there. And what we have found is there were some costs that we didn't account for.
And Papp says there's already proof that the Coast Guard has learned to hold its requirements and costs in check. The first three versions of the National Security Cutter, the Coast Guard's new 418-foot flagship-class cutter, were built according to cost-plus contracts.
It was very hard, but we hammered out a fixed-price contract for number four. And many people were amazed, first of all, that we're able to do that. But then people were even more amazed that within the same year, we were able to negotiate and execute a second fixed-price contract for hull number five when Congress gave us that money.
Papp says the Coast Guard has scaled back its ambitions in other areas to hold costs down. He says the service plans to build the smaller offshore patrol cutter in a way that will treat affordability as the main factor and build in just enough bells and whistles so that the boat is acceptable for operations. He told the subcommittee it's Congress's role to let the Coast Guard build the ships it needs as quickly as possible. Much of the current fleet dates back as far as the 1960s. And he says replacing those aging cutters will only get more expensive as time goes on.
And there's this triangle of cost, performance, and schedule. We're controlling the costs now. We know what they are. We know what the performance is that we want. It's the schedule that will drive any cost increases, because the further you drive the schedule to the right, the prices will increase. So I am trying to make the effort to build the things we need as fast as we can. I fully understand there's fiscal constraints within our government, but it's my job as the commandant to tell you what we need, and that the faster we build them, the lower our costs will be in the long run, because we are able to decommission aging, costly assets and get a better price for the new assets if we build them quicker.
Lobiondo says the authorization bill he authored for the Coast Guard includes a bump in capital funding from what the administration requested. But he says to get the money through the entire Congress, the Coast Guard will have to continue to show improvements.
We're completely in line with the goals that you have and what you want to do. It's just that some of these reports become disconcerting if we can't get to the bottom of why they're that way. And 6 or so years ago, we had direct assurances about what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, and there were no problems and just everything was fine, and it really wasn't. So we're trying to be cautious but move forward in a positive way.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.